Hey everyone, what's going on? Thanks for joining us for another episode of So NWA, the podcast that brings you the voices and stories of incredible people shaping our community. I'm your host, JC, and as always, I have my brother here, Enrique, my co-host. What's going on, man? How are you?
What's going on, Juan Carlos? I'm doing good, man. I feel like I'm turning into the weather, man, because every time we start these episodes, I always refer to the weather.
It's important, man.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm going to do that today. Today, it's a nice sunny day, not much cloud, about 75 degrees. I think the highest we'll reach is about 80 degrees or so.
Sure. Man, good weather is really underrated, I'll tell you that. So, Enrique and I aren't just podcast hosts, but we're also local realtors. When we're not on the mic, we're out in our community helping our clients with their real estate needs. If you ever have any questions or need assistance, we'd love to help. Don't forget to follow and share the podcast on social media. We'd really appreciate it. You can find us on Instagram at SoNWAPodcast. But folks, today we have these two special guests with us today. I've worked with them for a little over a year now, and it really is an honor to have them here. So, Enrique, would you like to do the introduction today?
Okay, yeah. So, like Juan Carlos mentioned, we got two people here sitting in the room with us. Combined in 2024, they had over 17 million in sales volume. One of the guests is the founder and executive broker for the DS team, which is partnered at Fathom Realty. As you guys know, that's the group we're with. But when he isn't selling homes, he's probably out riding on Kohler. And he's got about 8 years in the industry, and he's got three little doggies, three fur babies. Our other guest is a high-producing agent for the DS team, and she's been in real estate for about 4 years now. She also is the team mentor for the agent of the team. Everybody, please welcome Francisco Diaz and Maricruz Gonzalez. How are we doing today?
Hey, everybody. Doing great. How are y'all? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yes, thanks for having me.
Oh, guys, I love it. Thank you guys for joining Enrique and I. It is an honor and it's a pleasure to have you guys here. Francisco, obviously, you are the team lead. You are the one that signs our contracts. You're the one that we go to when we have questions. Mari, you were the mentor for me when I joined the team and we got to spend some time together. So that being said, you know, both of you guys are unique in your own way, and I'm glad that you guys are here with us. But when Enrique and I, when we started this podcast a while back, Enrique had brought up this idea of doing a real estate episode and having these guests come over and talking about the local industry, talking about real estate, kind of best tips and tricks. And I thought, who better than, again, the people that I just mentioned, right? Francisco and Mari here. So thank you guys for being here, and let's have a good time. You know, this is, I think this is going to be really informative to the audience. I think they're going to really appreciate this episode when it comes out. So
we're happy to be here. Cool. Happy to add value any way we can.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yes. We are so happy to be here. Thank you.
Cool.
Well, I know we're barely starting the week. It's Tuesday, right? March 11th. Tell us about your week a little bit. How's it been going? Anything good? Anything bad? What's going on?
Yeah, any life events? Any life updates?
It's been great. Yeah. Weather, like Enrique said, has been much better than what it has been this winter. We have sunny weather, t-shirt weather. I'm training for a half marathon, so I've been running almost on a daily. So that's what I have going on. You know, early runs, late runs, just staying fit.
There you go.
I've definitely noticed you're staying committed to the runs and posting your run times and everything. I definitely say you have progressed greatly when you started in December, I remember right.
Yes.
So, man, I could say shout out to that because you've committed, you've stayed on track, and your times have improved a lot. So I would definitely be rooting for you in the marathon or half marathon. Yeah. Yeah. Even if I won't be there, I'm like, I know he's running it. Yeah. Yeah, Mari, for you, how was your week? How's everything going? How's life?
Life is good. I am a mom of two, so I am always busy with my kids, my daughter and my son. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm also trying to balance being in real estate and doing that, being a mom, and just doing a lot. But but I'm always trying to stay busy, and so far, it's hard, but I do the best I can.
We love that. Let's touch on that a little bit. So you're a mother of two and you're a full-time real estate agent, right? As we know.
Yes.
How important is it to you to kind of find that balance in your daily schedule, weekly schedule, monthly schedule, however it is that you break it down?
Yeah. So it is very difficult because being a real estate agent is really hard. Managing the time is also difficult, especially because some of your clients, you know, would want you to show them houses or just really do the job morning, afternoon. And with my kids being in school, and I mean, they're still young.
Well, that's good that as we get more, at least some for myself, who's just started the industry, I think that balance is really important. So I think there's lessons that are, you can give to others that are also starting in the industry. So I think that's really, really important. So, but one of the things that we do in this podcast is we like to ask each other these kind of questions, random questions, that way the audience can get to know us. And one of these questions that I came up, I use this question generator is, and I think this is kind of funny being that we're all realtors here. What is your favorite room in your house and why?
My favorite room is going to be my office for sure.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
okay.
I feel like no one goes in there aside from me.
Okay.
And so everything is pretty much left how I leave it. No one messes with anything.
Okay.
And so it's really just my happy place. It's just chill. So my office for sure.
You got a special lock on it that no one can enter?
Special lock, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I like it. That's Francisco, fun. How about you? What is your favorite room in your house and why?
I agree with Mari. My favorite room is my office. I am most productive in my office. I have a stand-up desk, so I get to kind of walk around, be standing, not be still, get my phone calls in, lock in, I'm focused. And personally, I enjoy working from home because I feel that I can be more productive overall instead of having to commute to a brick and mortar office. So by far my favorite room.
Mm, I like it. I like it. Enrique, how about you? What is your favorite room in your house and why?
I'd probably say the bathroom.
You know, to some people that is the office. What are you talking about?
That's the office.
That's, to oh, some people that is the office.
No, all jokes aside, I'll say the bathroom just because typically you're in there by yourself, right? So you just do what you gotta do, and there you go. You move on with your day. I'd say the bathroom. Though.
Okay, I like it. I like it. No, that's peace and quiet right there, yeah, right?
There you go.
As we all know, when you're clocked, you know, in the corporate world or you're 9 to 5, you go to the bathroom and you take the most time you can on that. So I completely get it. I would probably agree. The office, although I share it with
Mari. You're agreeing with the bathroom.
Oh, sorry. No. I was agreeing with Mari and Francisco.
That's funny.
Yeah. I would say I agree with them and say that I enjoy my office. I do share it with my wife, but we both kind of have our own desk and try to, you know, if we both need to work. But when I come into my office, I guess you can say you're right. It's set up. Like Mari Cruz was saying, it was set up in your own way, how you left it. I don't know, was it say tools or pencils, whatever, all around there. So it feels you. It feels like you. So cool. I like that. Enrique, you took one for the team.
I'm the oddball out. Yeah, I said the restroom.
He's the only honest one.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, part of it too is like, let's say you've had a long day. I mean, for us, for example, we've been showing houses, let's say all afternoon. And it's late in the evening or you're just getting ready for bed, you go to the restroom, you'll take a shower. That's kind of letting your mind know, okay, it's time to wind down and head to bed and go get some rest, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's at least how my brain works.
After a run, the shower is my favorite place to be.
There you go.
That's true, yeah.
I feel a little better now.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, guys, this is one of our first time where we have two guests here at the same time. And I definitely love to get into that. So, and I'll start with Francisco this time, but... Francisco, if you're not originally from Northwest Arkansas, how did you or your family discover, or when did you guys move to Northwest Arkansas?
Yeah, so I'm born in California.
Okay.
I grew up as a kid in Los Angeles with my immediate family. In the 90s, we had our first distant family move to Northwest Arkansas. I believe due to work. I think they were told there was job opportunities and affordability, so they came out here. Mm-hmm. And slowly but surely, my family began migrating over to Arkansas from California. And the majority of us are here now. So that's what led us here. Mm-hmm. I moved to Arkansas in 2006.
Oh, okay. That's kind of the similar time, Enrique, you moved
more
here.
More or less, yeah. Okay. Mine, about 2 years later, 2008.
Yeah.
And my dad, essentially for the same reason, the market crash happened. He heard there was job opportunity. My mom had her sister over here. So we were like, let's just go to Arkansas. Yeah. That's what my parents said, right? So,
being that we're talking about real estate today, my father bought a home for the first time in 2006 at the peak of the market. And as a kid, I remember him saying around 2008, and he would laugh about it. He would say, wow, you know, our house is worth less than what our mortgage is. We're upside down. And I think he was at least grateful he had employment, because so many people didn't during that time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you said you moved here, your family originally from LA, from California, and then over time they moved over here, and you guys were maybe one of the last families to move to the state, or in the middle, something like that?
We're a big family. So probably out of, maybe 15, 20 households, we were maybe number 10, 12.
Okay. But now most of your family is here.
The majority is here. I have one aunt in Los Angeles still.
Man, if she's ever looking to sell her home, let her know that you know somebody. I can refer her out. So.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
That's funny.
That's cool though. I'm glad. I'm sure maybe they have a better way of living out here. I can maybe guess. Is that's why they maybe moved out here from LA?
No doubt.
Over time, yeah.
Yeah, and to dive in a bit further, the primary reason was we lived in the middle of Los Angeles in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And those who have been to Hollywood know it's not, superstars that necessarily live there. You also have a lot of tough areas, if you will, especially back then.
Yes.
And we were kids. The middle school my older sister was going to attend, whenever they did orientation, it was filled with gangs. It was filled with graffiti. We had seen a lot of our neighbors that had attended that school, and they did not have good habits, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that was the leading cause for my parents to say, hey, let's go check out Arkansas. Mm-hmm. I think it might be better for our kids to move here. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a great call, because I had a totally different upbringing than I think I would have had growing up in Los Angeles. Not to mention, buying a home in LA, even at the time, was more challenging than it is buying a home in Arkansas. My parents bought a 3-bed, 2-bath in Rogers for about $118,000. That home is now worth about right under $300,000, if I were to guess.
Okay.
That's a good... Yeah, I don't think you're going to find properties in that value nowadays, right?
Nope.
So to touch a little bit on your parents, where are they from originally? Are they from the United States or?
My father is from El Salvador. My mother is from Guatemala. They migrated to the U.S. when they were both 18 years of age in 1986. They met in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Very cool.
So yeah, I got very similar.
Maricruz, what's your background? Are you Mexican, is that right?
Yes, I am Mexican. I was born in Acámbaro, Guanajuato, but I am from a very small ranchito nearby called San Jose. Mm. So I was born in Mexico, and I was there for like 3 years. And then we moved to California for a couple years. It wasn't very long that we were there. And then we've been here since 1997 here in Arkansas.
Oh, wow. Yes. You got some deep roots in here, Mati, for sure. Yeah, that's cool.
I've been here for a long time.
Yeah.
So I've seen the growth for sure.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think we moved here in 96, 97 as well. We're from California as well, my family, and that's how, very similar to your story, Francisco, of we had other family come to the area, then they told us, hey, you guys should come over here, but that's when my family moved over here too. So cool. I think we all kind of migrated here. I love it.
Yeah, I think the driving factor is, at least from what I'm seeing in the room, is somebody had a family member that was either already here or they were going to move here. Mm-hmm. And that kind of just
drove everyone to come this way.
I'd be very curious on my side to ask, you know, I think it was my mother's uncle who told her and my dad to come to Arkansas. I'd be very curious how he found out about this place. It probably was work, maybe like you, Francesca, you know. But I never really thought of it. I wonder how they hey, you should come over here. Yeah,
it was just word of mouth. I feel like they put a lot of faith in what their family was probably telling them.
Mm-hmm.
Like for my dad's case, it was his cuñado, his brother-in-law, is the one who told him about it. And his sister-in-law, as well. They were saying, oh, there's a lot of work over here. You guys should come and visit one day, see how you like it. And there's opportunity for you to grow here. Right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what happened, especially with the market crash. There wasn't really any work for my dad, at least from Florida. Mm-hmm. So
talking a bit about the job economy here, I think it's always been very strong, especially with Walmart, all the chicken poultries or a lot of factory jobs. I know back then there were jobs available and that led to many people moving to Northwest Arkansas. And word of mouth was probably the biggest way that people learned about it. And it's interesting now, word of mouth is still existent, but many people do their own research on best places to live in America, and Northwest Arkansas comes up. Mm-hmm. I've met people that had no ties to NWA at all, and they moved here solely because they did research and they saw there's jobs, there's business opportunities, safety, outdoor recreational activities, and just overall a great lifestyle to live in. So it's interesting how it's kind of changed a bit as well over time.
Yeah, I mean, especially now with everyone having access to the internet and modern technology, it makes researching a lot more convenient, I feel.
Yeah, for sure.
Is that how you got into real estate? How did you guys figure that out? Did you just start doing research? I'm kind of curious about how you guys got your foot in the door or the beginning of it. And we'll start with Maricruz this time around.
So for me, I feel like when I bought my first home, I was like, you know, I think that would be something I would want to do in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So
was it with the experience that you had with your agent, or was it more just the process of actually buying your house?
It was more of the process. It was more of the process. I feel like it was very interesting to me, and it almost seemed fun is how I felt. But yeah, so when I bought my first house, that was really what I was like, hey, maybe I would really enjoy doing that.
When you said it was fun, I think of like Selling Sunset on Netflix or something like that, right?
Well, I say it was fun because, you know, it was a brand new home. We were able to, you know, select like the tile, like the paint. And so it was a lot of fun. So that was really one of the reasons as to why I joined
real estate.
Do you still feel that fun now after 4 years in the industry?
I do. I really enjoy it. Believe it or not, I do. Yeah. Not that it's fun, but it, you know, it's a learning experience. Right. I'm always learning, I feel. And so I truly enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you learn things every day in the business that we're in, even if you have many years of experience. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
that's true. I think the real estate industry is definitely an industry that someone can just tell you what these things are, but you really got to do them or see them firsthand to remember it for future transactions. And sometimes things just don't come up, right? You can have a list of all these things, and that until it actually happens, you're like, oh, yeah, now I remember. Yeah, but Francisco, what keeps you passionate about being in real estate?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Passion. That's huge. Honestly, I want to say I just have a passion for business.
Ooh.
I like the ability to create.
Okay.
I like the ability to take initiative, and if I have a thought, put into action.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the entrepreneurial spirit in me.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only business I've ever truly done, is real estate, but I still feel the entrepreneurial spirit whenever I'm thinking of innovative ways. How can we grow? How can we do a deal? How can we come up with solutions? Both whenever we work on our business and in our business with our clients. As you guys know, many deals can get complicated. Many deals could be challenging to put together, but like the art of the deal, man, is fun. So I really enjoy it. It's also a really good career that allows you the flexibility to make your life how you want it to be. You can mold your life, and you know, you decide when are you clocking in, when are you clocking out. I believe in work-life integration, not necessarily a balance. There's no balance in real estate, as we all know, because we could work early mornings, late nights, weekends. So when do we get off? Well, the client kind of dictates that. So I believe more in integration, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe I do a morning run or a morning workout, then I go work. Or maybe I have a busy day showing properties on the weekend, but how can I mix in time with my wife or time for myself? And there's always something new. So it's fun, and that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me passionate.
I like it. I like it. I think the integration, how you use that, I think that's actually very true for real estate, because I'm still on the real estate work-life balance. But I think that might be a better
mind shift.
There you go. Yeah. I think that actually might be a little bit better, because I think that is true. We do have that client that we have to attend to. So yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, oftentimes the people that we work with, they're working, 8 to 5, 9 to 5, 10 to 7, right? They're typically working in the middle of the day whenever we're doing our day-to-day activities, right? So oftentimes if you want to meet, show property, it's going to be after hours, quote unquote, if you will. So like Francesca said, are we really ever off? Maybe probably when we're asleep, sure, but I mean, you really never know. I mean, if a client has a need, we're more than likely going to attend to them.
Well, let me say this as well, not to get too off topic, but I also believe in putting yourself first. And I've learned that the past couple of years, whenever it comes to fitness and health, I've been prioritizing that for me. Because if I'm 100%, I could be 100% for my clients. And there have been times in the past when all I did was work. I was eating bad. I was not exercising because I thought all I had to do was work. But that drained me from my energy. I wasn't 100%. Maybe I didn't even sleep enough, right? You know, I could argue that I had to wake up early and go to bed late because I had so much work to do. Well, being sleep deprived will make you less productive. So I believe in putting yourself first, and then again, that integration, having the time and being 100% for your client.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that a lot. And that makes sense too.
Well, I mean, how else can you even do a good job if you're not really taking care of yourself, right? Like Francesco said, if you're only sleeping 4 or 5, 6 hours a night. I mean, to be quite honest, I mean, people are going to notice that, right? I mean, if they're thinking you're not taking care of yourself, they're going to think, is this guy even going to take care of this transaction for me? Mm-hmm. How is this guy going to do a good job for me if he's not even putting himself first?
Yeah.
At least I would think that way if I was a buyer.
100%. And that's typical too. Like in any, in typically any job, you know, if you come late to work, if you're not ready for work, if you're not in a good mindset, you know, kind of your employer looks at you. In this case, our employer would be the client. They would be like, man, this guy's late all the time, doesn't answer my phone calls. Right. And just like, again, if you work for a company. But these next few questions, guys, are a little bit more direct when it comes to real estate. And I'd be very curious to, you know, even for you and I, Enrique, me and you to answer these questions too. So, and we'll start with Enrique here and kind of go this way. Enrique, what is one piece of advice you'd give to first-time home buyers That they usually don't hear.
One thing I'll say to buyers is there's never really a right or wrong time to buy, like in terms of the market per se. I think the right time to buy is whenever you feel most comfortable, whenever you feel ready, whenever you think you can, okay, I'm going to pull the trigger and go talk to a lender. I'm going to see how much I can get pre-qualified for. I'm going to pull the trigger and fill out this offer. I think that's what's important, right? Because market conditions play a big part in when you can probably buy a house. But the biggest thing, in my opinion, is whenever you feel the most comfortable and most ready to purchase a property or sell your property even. But if they're just really not ready emotionally or motivationally speaking, I mean, why would they even want to put themselves in that position? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we'll jump over here to Maricruz.
Yeah. So something that I always like, you know, to tell a first-time buyer is that I always like to make them aware of like the maintenance of the home. you know, to not forget that there's, you know, maintenance that comes with, you know, the home. And I say that because, you know, we help people sell. And so we obviously want people to get the most out of their homes. But unfortunately, some people forget about maintenance, you know.
Very true.
That's just something that I always like to bring up.
Yeah, very true. Francisco, how about you? What's something that, what advice you give to first-time home buyers that they usually don't hear?
Man, there's a ton.
There is a lot.
I have a thought, but just to piggyback off what Maricruz say, I agree with advising the buyer, there's maintenance that comes with the home. Same if you buy a car. You need to get that oil change. You need to do tire rotations, get new tires, check on your liquids, etc. With a home, many times I'll hear, I want an affordable house, you know, let's go bottom price point, you know, something not too new so I can get into an affordable property. And my response is great. If that's your budget, no problem. However, let's keep in mind that some of the older homes may require more maintenance than you expect. An HVAC life expectancy could be 10 to 15 years. And if we're looking at a home built even in 2000 or 2010, and it has the original HVAC system, you might be liable to a full replacement in the near future. Mm-hmm. Do you have the funds for that?
Mm.
Do you have the funds for new appliances or a new roof? You know, if you have an old roof, the insurance company may say, we're not going to insure it. It's too old. That's expensive.
Yeah.
So that's important to balance. You know, do you want an older home? Do you want a newer home? Do you want the lowest price point, or do you want to kind of be in the middle of your budget where you actually get a good product for what you're paying? But my number one advice to a buyer would be, let's schedule a buyer consultation, because every buyer is different. Mm-hmm. Every buyer need is different. We need to dissect and analyze what are you trying to accomplish, and then we can offer the best advice to them.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. That's good too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
The consultation is a must.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Consultation is a must. For sure. Yes.
What about you, Juan Carlos? What do you want to tell a buyer, some advice for them that they're not typically going to hear?
Man, I'll say this, and this happened to me when I bought my first home, and I wish someone would have said something. So let's say you have your budget, and we'll just go off some simple numbers of, let's just say, $300,000, and you're looking at a home that's made, let's say, $250,000, so $250,000, but the client really likes the home that's $280,000, and so naturally you're like $30,000 more. Oh my gosh, that's so much money. I can't afford it, you know. But in reality, from $250,000 to $280,000 after, you know, 30-year mortgage or you know, typical 30-year mortgage, that might only be an extra, I don't know, maybe $100, maybe $200 on your monthly mortgage. And a lot of times you have that kind of roadblock in your mind to say, oh my gosh, that's an extra $30,000. I don't have $30,000. Well, you forget in 30 years, that's really only like an extra $100 on your mortgage, something like that, $100, $200, give or take. Obviously interest rate and all that depends, but that essentially happened to me. And my story was, and me and my wife, we laugh about this all the time. When we got our home, at the time we wanted to get a third car garage, but we had set on a budget of what our home was. But, and the third car garage was only like an extra 15,000 extra. And I was like, oh man, we already quote unquote hit our budget, but we were able to afford more, but we were just stuck on just being, careful, I guess you can say. And now we look back on it, man, I wish I would have got that third car garage. It would only have been maybe $50 on our mortgage, which we would have in hindsight maybe turned into like an office or a gym or something like that. I'd say, hey, if this is what you're looking for, great. But if you do see something a little bit more and you can like afford it, and your financial institution is backing you, it's not a bad idea. This is really what it breaks down to. So it's a number thing, right? So I would say, as Maricruz and Francisco said, the buyer consultation is really where you're at and giving that advice. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say that was a story that will forever stick with me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you never know too. Maybe with that consultation, just having that simple, you know, one-on-one with the buyer, that may spark that motivation that they need in order to move forward and really talk about their plans and really see if homeownership is a possibility for them. So I always like that experience, especially when you kind of see that sparkle and twinkle in their eye once they kind of realize, oh my gosh, it is a reality for me. Oh my gosh, I can buy a home in the next year, even 30, 45 days, right? So I always experience that buyer consultation as a positive.
And we buy you free coffee too.
Oh, that's right. We buy you coffee. You want a croissant or something too, we'll buy it for you.
Enrique here, what is a mistake that you see buyers and sellers make all the time?
A mistake I see buy. I'll say with the sellers, right?
Because okay,
with sure. Buyers, I always like to inform them everything that they should do. Whenever okay. We do sit down for that buyer consultation. For a seller, you want your house to be kind of like, you want to envision, or the buyers, excuse me, want to envision themselves kind of living there, right? They want to see their family there. They want to imagine weekends, having a party, etc. So you really want to stage your house and make it look as if it's ready. Ooh. For somebody to move in.
That's right? So
kind
good.
Of like moving ready. And
yes.
Quote unquote. That's what I would tell a seller, because believe it or not, even a dirty cup in the sink is going to make a buyer go, you know, I don't really like this house anymore. It sounds crazy, but it really is true.
I believe it.
Yeah.
So clean your house. If you're trying to sell your house, clean your house, please.
Well, yeah, one, clean it, but just have it organized.
Organized, clean it.
Not to say that people are disorganized. You know, I don't mean that in any negative way, but it really does make a huge difference in terms of pictures, in terms of showings, in terms of feedback. It's really...
A great example or analogy of that would be if you're buying a car or you're buying a table or you're buying, I don't know, something off Facebook Market, right? And you see this car or table or... I don't know, grill, you know, barbecue grill, and it's dirty and it's dented and all these things, or the car's full of trash on the inside, you're probably skipping to the next, you know, item on Facebook Market, right? You're kind of, oh, I love that Honda or whatever it might be, but man, that car, on the inside is full of, you know, trash and bottles or whatever it might be. It's dirty on the outside. You might just skip that one and go to the next one. And I think that kind of applies a little bit to your home, to the home as well. So in that case, but
no.
Yeah. I think that's very true.
That's what I would say.
I would say that's a good one.
What would you say, Maria Cruz? Yeah. What would be your advice?
So what I've seen, and it hasn't been clients that I've helped. It's okay. Well, that I have helped, but that they've sold, bought,
past experiences,
is not getting an inspection.
I was going to say that.
Not getting an inspection. So I feel like that is non-negotiable for a buyer. So,
okay. Cool.
Yeah. And I feel like that's huge.
Oh man. An inspection is getting all those, getting someone who's professional, and what is it called? Knowledgeable into the home and making sure everything is working, or at least getting you informed of where it's at in the home. That's good. I really like that too.
I like that. I agree with Maricruz. That was going to be my advice too. Get a home inspection.
And
I guess I could dissect that a bit further. Many buyers confuse a third party professional home inspection with an appraisal.
Ooh,
or maybe
yes.
If it's a new construction home with the city inspection, whenever they issue the certificate of occupancy, that is not a professional home inspection.
Mm-hmm.
A professional home inspection is a third-party inspector who the buyer employs and represents the buyers and looks out for their interest. And I see that mistake, not really with my buyers, but I have heard of people buying homes without a home inspection, and then they discover many issues the home had. But I do have one story I share a lot whenever a buyer is maybe leaning towards not wanting a home inspection, even with new construction.
Mm-hmm.
So a few years ago at a home in Springdale, I had a buyer who was buying a home that was built just 3 years prior. And he didn't want a home inspection, but he took my advice after some convincing and he got one. And we're not home inspectors. So whenever we show homes, we're looking at the cosmetics, if anything. We're not able to fully inspect the house. Whenever the inspector got there and spent about 2-3 hours inspecting the entire home, he noticed a bit of signs of foundation problems. And the home had been built on a hill. He investigated further and he lifted the carpet in a couple of the bedrooms and saw major foundation cracks that would have otherwise not been visible, because who's going to lift a carpet when you're looking at a home, right?
Yep.
So that he discovered a major foundation problem. We terminated that purchase, and that was a 3-year-old home. So you inspect every house, no matter what. That's my advice.
That's a good story.
Yeah, it's
a good experience.
I have a story similar to that too. I had an investor. He was wanting to buy a duplex in Rogers. It was a 2-story duplex, and I think this was built maybe in the 80s or something. I can't remember exactly. And it was on a crawl space. So we do the showing. We're walking through the house, and we noticed that a couple of soft spots. That's pretty, you know, typically a sign of, all right, this crawl space probably not the best. Well, anyways, we do our inspection. Come to find out, the whole crawl space needed to be redone. So if the buyer, the investor, I should say, chose to move forward without an inspection, he would have had an expensive problem on his hand.
Yeah.
So yeah, I advocate for the inspection. Don't ever skip that.
Yeah, for sure. I actually had a listing a few weeks ago, and you know, come to find out that when they bought the home that they're wanting to sell, they were not offered to do an inspection.
They weren't.
Mm-mm.
Oh boy.
So, you know, like it's really important.
Yeah.
It's really, really important. So,
yeah, I agree. I mean, you just want to make sure what you're getting yourself into, especially with homes that are resale. I mean, even with new construction, I mean, you really never know what could be wrong with a property. So, you just want to make sure that things are rocking and rolling the way you want.
And very quickly, one final thought on the inspections to wrap that up. That is also the reason that you need a buyer's agent to represent you when you're buying new construction.
Yeah.
You do have the option to go directly to a builder and the builder's rep. However, that builder's representative only represents the seller, not the buyer. Legally, the builder most times will not allow them to represent the buyer. And if a buyer does not have proper representation, they may never be informed to do a home inspection. But as a buyer's agent, a good one, we can recommend them top reputable home inspectors to go inspect that new house, and any defects the home has, the builder will fix them as part of their warranty.
Yeah,
that's a great piece of advice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have somebody be in your corner. Have someone be your advocate.
Yeah, definitely.
And things do come up in new construction.
All the time.
All the time.
I like going on Instagram. Well, I don't like search this, but sometimes they just pop up, right? Like suggested or whatever. And it'll be like, hey, look at this new construction, you know, $500,000 new construction home. And then it's a home inspector, and he's finding all these things like nails through the roof.
Yeah.
Things not sealed correctly, like around the window seal. And I'm like, oh man, that's a lot of money. You know, it's your home, right? One of the things that I think about is, and it can be either or, if you're selling your home, you know, or if you're buying the home, visit the neighborhood at different times through the day. A lot of times people like a property, they like the home, they think, oh, it's only 20 minutes from where I need to be, it's 20 minutes from work. And that is true when there's no traffic, but then you wake up you move in to this beautiful home, your new home, and now it takes 45 minutes to get to work, and you're like, oh, I didn't know that. Because every time you looked at the home, it was probably at, you know, 8 p.m. or 2 p.m. or on your lunch or something like that when there was no traffic. I would say go to that location or that, you know, whatever property you're looking at. Go to it, maybe look at Google Maps for traffic patterns to see if in the morning it's, you know, if anyone buying a house in Pea Ridge, you already know that's the number one, one of the number one concerns in Pea Ridge is it's going to take you anywhere between, you know, 20 to 30 minutes to get out of the town if you, after a certain time, right, like 7:20 in the morning. So I think that's important. And then also noise, but you want to hear what the surrounding area is or sounds like. You could have an airport that you know the airport is there, but you don't know when an plane is landing. That happened to me a lot. And when I lived in California, my dad lived by the airport. It'd be 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, and an airplane would be landing, and it's just so loud. Could be a chicken plant down the street. You wouldn't know. And some smells throughout the day. So imagine you're buying your home, and now you have these things that are, I guess, kind of affecting you in a way, or things you didn't think about. So I say visit that neighborhood, visit that location, that property at different times of the day. Ask some neighbors, ask around to see what they like and don't like about the property. I think that's completely valid. So
I like that.
Yeah. I think that's important. Yeah. Some practical, some simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would hate to move into a home and then it's like, what?
I mean, even future developments too, you want to make sure if they're doing anything around the house, like, are they going to make commercial around this area? Are they going to make a landfill in 5 years behind her? You know, just a crazy example, right? But you want to make sure what's happening around you also.
Agreed.
So we've been in the real estate industry for, you've been in it for 8 years, Maria Cruz, 4 years. I'm coming up with my third year here. Juan Carlos, a little over a year.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you guys, if you could start all over again, what would you guys do differently?
From 2025, you just got your license today. What would you do right now? With all the knowledge that you've had for the last couple years, what would it be? We'll start off with Maddie.
Okay. Well, for me, I'm actually going to say something really nice that I think I share it all the time. I don't know if I would change really anything, because when I started, I really felt like Francisco really helped me so much. I don't know if I would have gotten that elsewhere. I've been with Francisco ever since I started in real estate. And so he has really taught me a lot. And so anytime I need anything, any questions, like, he's always there to help.
Nice.
So I'm really grateful for that.
Ooh, I like that. That's true about Francisco.
Yeah.
In his 8 years of being in real estate, and I find this funny, right? You can ask him a question, and let's say you're in person with him. You're like, Francisco, what do I do with this? He'll cross his arms and he'll put his hand on his chin and he'll look at the sky and he'll take a big, deep sigh. He'll go, But it's crazy, because then he'll give you an answer to your question.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what your question is, he'll somehow always give you an answer.
Yeah.
And I think that just goes to show the kind of leader he is, the kind of mentorship he offers.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
going through the memory bank.
A Rolodex.
Yeah.
He's very business. And I feel like to the point, you know? And so I like that, because do we really have time, you know, to really sit? And nobody has time, especially in real estate, you know? It has been a really good experience. And so I don't have anything that I would really change, because I'm overall very content where I'm at.
Mm.
And everything that, you know, that has happened, so.
Okay.
I like it.
That's good. That's good. And we'll go across this way. Enrique, how about you?
If I could go back in time, I probably would have just figured out that I wanted to be in real estate sooner. But I mean, that I can't control that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that'd be the only thing I would do different. I mean, I'm grateful that I went through all the hardships with real estate, right? I'll share with the audience. The first year I was in business, I actually lost money, right? You have to pay for your license. You have to pay for the exams, pay for your continuing education. I didn't perform that first year. I was in the hole. And so you start thinking, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? But now sitting where I'm at now, I'm actually grateful for those experiences, because I think it really sets you up for success now, especially with more experience going on. So that's the only thing I would change different. If I could go back, just start it sooner, but
love
I really
it.
Can't do
yeah,
anything
love
about
it.
That.
Francisco, how about you?
That's tough. That's tough. I don't know what I would do differently, but in hindsight, vision is always 20/20. And if I had the knowledge now, if I had the knowledge then that I have now, my business would have kicked off much sooner, because I also struggled my first year.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of lack of information, at times lack of direction. I honestly didn't know what I got myself into. And it wasn't until year two that I joined a team and got a mentor to invest in me that I actually started doing good. So knowledge is key. I think just knowing as much as you can about the business, about real estate, about working with people, that's huge. This business is more about people skills rather than knowing about a house and a product. So that's what comes to mind. But I wouldn't necessarily change anything, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I've learned the past 8 years has allowed me to be where I'm at now. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't make myself smarter, you know,
mm-hmm.
8 years
right.
ago. I've always pursued higher education. And yeah,
mm-hmm.
I've just learned as I went. And whatever I learned, I put that into action.
Yeah, I like what you said about the people part of the business, yeah. Right? And I'm going to refer back to a couple of our episodes, one with Coach Smith and one with Mr. Resendez, the principal of Oakdale Middle School. One thing that they both said that was they had in common with what kind of what you said is people don't really remember what you tell them, what you're wearing, the kind of scent you have on, how your hair looked that day. They're going to remember how you made them feel. And I think that goes real well with what we do every day in real estate.
Mm.
I make them feel good, you know?
Yeah, very powerful, yeah. They just, you know, they bought their home, first home, or buying a home, selling a home is a big deal, you know, and you're there to support them in that transaction, but also inform them, give them a good experience. You can say teach them something or just help them through that transition. And they'll, you know, they should remember that if everything went well. Yeah, yeah.
What about you? What are you doing differently?
I mean, I've only been doing this for about a year, but something I could have done better last year is really get over my, it's not a fear, but get over with the social media content creation. I think getting more comfortable with it, I think would have been good because I'm kind of learning that now. But I think doing that, getting in front of the camera, being more intentional about the content and the information I put out there, I think was really key. But and I think this year that's what my focus is getting more information, getting more knowledge from, you know, my peers, people who I'm sitting with here in the podcast, Enrique, you know, all these friends and family, and try to send that out, if you will, to others to see who is, I guess, who's listening really. But we're going to do this question, a rapid fire question, in a way, just answer and then we move on. But Francisco, what is the best piece of advice you have received, or a really good piece of advice you have received, and how did that impact your career?
Wow.
I know.
Putting me on the spot. A piece of advice that has impacted my career?
A piece of advice that you received and how that basically helped you in your career, helped you as a person. I'll say maybe a little bit more broad.
Man, there is so much, but being that it's rapid fire, what comes to mind is I like seeking wisdom from any source, any person, any book. I read a book recently called Essentialism, and it is around the philosophy of doing less but more.
Mm-hmm.
Many times we get caught up trying to do it all. We only have 24 hours in a day. We don't have time to do it all. We have to focus on what is essential. And that is one thing that I've been applying to my life here recently. And like today, super busy day. What I ask myself is, what is the most essential thing I need to get done right now? In this hour, or this morning, or by the end of the day, that'll make everything else easier or unnecessary. So that's one advice I got from a book just this past month.
Oh, I like that. Essential. Mighty Cruz, how about you?
So there is a lot, but I think one that I'm sure many people have heard is really that nothing is handed. I mean, you have to put in the work.
Mm.
And I feel like in real estate, that's huge. Like I've said it all the time. People are not going to go and knock at your door. Hey, you want to help me, you know, sell my house, buy it. And so, you know, you got to put in the work. You got to be very committed. And so again, nothing is handed.
Mm, I like that answer. During my CE classes, I took a few months ago for the license, right? I don't remember the instructor's name at the moment, but she said something along these lines and how it applies to real estate. But I took that and kind of, I never really thought of it like that. But she said, real estate is a really emotional industry. And what she meant by that was, or it can be a really emotional industry, because you get a phone call. And, oh, hey, I want to sell my house. It's $1 million or whatever. And they call you. You're the seller now. Or you're the agent for this transaction. And then, they call you. And you're super excited. You know, oh, man, I just got this $1 million listing. Oh, man, everything's the best. Yada, yada, yada. Then call you a week later. And they say, you know what? I don't want to sell it no more. I'm good. And you're done. But they can kind of change their mind and say, you know what? I want to keep my house. So something along those lines is, we're in a really emotional
industry, driven industry, that you want to kind of keep that in checks and balance. You say, hey, you get that phone call. I want to sell this house. Okay, sounds great. Let me do this buyer consultation with you, or selling consultation with you. And sounds good. We'll set up sometime next week, you know, and kind of hold that emotion at balance. And because you never know, it might come through or might not come through, but someone can really, to some people, that can really affect them. Say, oh my gosh, you're in the moon for an hour or a day or 2 days, and then the next day they're not, right? They hit kind of rock bottom because they maybe pulled that listing or whatever. And that might hit people harder than others, but I think that's definitely an industry that we face or that we're in. And I think I kind of use that piece of advice for a lot of things outside of real estate too. It's just like, you know what? Is it going to take that much for me, that emotion? But I think you were going to say something, Francisco.
Yeah, so what I always tell our agents and our clients is the deal is not done until it's done.
Yeah, there's correct.
So many conditions, so many contingencies. Even if you think it's a clean offer, if you read the contract, there's a ton of conditions that have to happen.
Yes.
I've had deals fall through 30 minutes before closing where somebody pulls a plug.
Mm.
So yeah. We cannot let our emotions get into it.
Yeah. So again, a lot of people, when she said that, I said, oh, that's actually very true. You know, just even a few months prior, I got a phone call and I'm so happy because someone called me from giving out my business card and they never bought anything, which is fine. But, you know, in that moment, you get that excitement. And then next thing you know, you're like, well, why are they buying anything? And then you kind of feel, you know, down, I guess you can say, yes, in a way. So that's definitely the industry that we're in. So, Ika, how about you?
The best piece of advice that I ever received?
Or a good piece of advice, too, you know?
I've heard this from Francisco, but and I've heard it from many other people as well, but you won't fail if you don't quit. And I and I think of that literally every single day, like even on the, especially on the days where, because I'm human, right? There's days where I wake up like, man, I don't want to do it today. I'm going to be real. But I think of that and do it. It like lights this fire inside of me. I don't really know how to describe it. And it kind of gives me like a sense of urgency, if you will. So yeah, to aspiring agents or anyone that you want to do something in your life, you only fail if you quit, so don't quit, and you'll make it far.
Powerful.
So, love
powerful.
It. Yeah. Love it.
I always think about that. So something we do here, I again, there's four of us here, so we can talk for like 3 hours if we really wanted to, right? But something we like to do out here in So In The Way, this podcast, is we really want to highlight the area, right? We want to make sure that we're giving a shout out to the place we live, the place where we're nurturing our careers, right? So to both Maricruz and Francisco, what would you guys tell friends or families, maybe people who haven't been here for the first time, yeah, they're going to come to Northwest Arkansas for the first time, what's kind of like your go-to spiel, what do you let them know about this area? And we'll let Francisco go first.
So just so I'm not highlighting stuff that people don't like, I'll often ask them first, or hopefully I know them if I'm talking to them. Like, what kind of person are they and what do they enjoy? Because I feel like Northwest Arkansas has something for everybody. If I'm speaking to somebody who's like me, I'm going to be like, there's affordable housing, great job economy. There is great outdoor recreational activities like mountain biking, hiking. We have the Greenway Trail System. You have a ton of pickleball courts going up in every single town, even the small ones in NWA.
Mm-hmm.
I think I heard P. Ridge is getting a pickleball court if they don't have one already.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the museums, the arts, the restaurants, the coffee shops. What don't we have? So that's what I'll often tell them about. Or if they're coming from another city or metro or state, I'll kind of make some kind of comparison as to what we have that they may also enjoy doing where they're coming from, or something that they have not experienced wherever they are, like in the city.
A good float trip.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would say a good.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot.
Mari, what about you? What do you tell your family and friends if they're visiting coming to visit you for the first time in Northwest Arkansas? What do you tell them? What do you say about this place?
So I feel like overall it's a very safe area. I think, mm-hmm. in comparison to like other places. I agree with what Francisco was saying. Like, you know, they're all different. It really just depends on mm-hmm. what they like to do. And overall, I feel like I always say how it's very safe here and you can do just about anything. And
you know,
I don't know if you guys get that from this area, at least now, you know,
for sure.
Who knows in 10 years, but like for now, it still feels fairly safe.
Yeah, I believe that.
I would say so.
Yep.
I think I grew up, when we first moved here, I grew up in a neighborhood where it was just duplexes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of those neighborhoods where if you want to know where all your friends are at, you just look at the driveway. If you see all the bikes out there, you know that's where they're at. So, yeah, I mean, even as a kid, I felt pretty safe, right?
Yeah,
I don't
same.
Really remember much crime, if any. I mean, crime happens, right? That's inevitable. But I think the era that we're in is a little bit less likely for that to happen.
I mean, it's grown, but, like, I feel like, in comparison to like California, you know.
Oh yeah.
We still gotta. I would agree. Yeah, we mm-hmm. definitely. You still feel that sense of security. Mm-hmm. You know, safety. Wherever you're walking downtown,
people are friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. Kind of kicking it a little bit fast forward. Kind of again another rapid fire session in a way. And Monty Cruz, I'm gonna start with you as well. Any hidden gem in this area, Northwest Arkansas, a hidden gem for you? It can be a restaurant. It can be, you know, a park.
Gosh, that is tricky.
Yeah.
A hidden gem.
Hidden gem. You're like, man, not a lot of people know about this. I can come back to you if you'd like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Enrique, how about you?
I wouldn't say it's like a hidden gem
per
se, but
something like local to us, you know, maybe that might make it a little bit more broad.
I brought it up in the last podcast, but not Taco Bell. Not this time. As listeners know, I love Taco Bell, man. That $5 box is going to hit every time. But I wouldn't say it's really like a hidden gem. I don't think, at least to my knowledge, most people just know La Taranda to be just like a little grocery store.
Yeah.
But at the very, very back of it, there's a little restaurant there.
So good.
Oh, that place is
so good.
So good.
They have, like, I think one of the most authentic, if not authentic, like to a T in terms of Mexican food. They do a really good job.
Oh, I'm probably going to go there for lunch either tomorrow or Thursday.
I would go.
That
for me is a place where, I mean, I think you see La Taranda, you're thinking, I'm not going to go to the grocery store. What am I going to do there? You know?
No, but the food is really good.
It's so good there.
Do a team really meeting good. There, sponsored by Waco.
Shout out Waco.
Yeah.
Francisco, how about you?
Oh,
hidden gem that lots of people maybe don't know about, or just even one of your hidden gems. You're like, man, this is my spot.
I'm obviously biased. I'm a huge coffee guy.
Okay.
And I think, and I'm proud to say, I've recommended it to a few out-of-state people already, and they've said, wow, now that's good coffee right there. And that's going to be Boulder Coffee. They have one in Pinnacle Hills, Rogers, and Fayetteville.
Okay.
And they have such a good dark roast coffee bean. People who prefer a sweeter drink don't tend to like Boulder because it is pretty bold, hence the name. Like, it's a good, strong coffee. But people who love coffee, I recommend Boulder Coffee.
Mm.
Now, we have a huge coffee scene in Northwest Arkansas. So you can probably find several to go to. And many are more aesthetically pleasing, or they have great business models. They have a huge presence. But Boulder Coffee is my number one place at the moment.
Okay. For me, one of my hidden gems is going to be Sassafras, and I think I'm saying it correctly, Sassafras Winery in Springdale.
Winery.
Yes. Oh, man. You know, I'm not necessarily a big wine drinker. You know, I can have a glass here and there, I guess. But the location and of itself is so beautiful during spring, summer, fall. In the winter, it's not, you know, because all the trees are out, right? But during the winter, all the trees are dried up and gone. But their location is really, really pretty. I think it's such like it's a hidden gem. It takes a minute to get there too. It's like in the back of Springdale, right on the east side of Springdale. But very nice location, good people. Such a unique build of location because it has like different levels, I guess you can say, outside. So I think that's a lot. And again, you know, we're in the middle of the states. Not a lot of people think there's a, you know, I guess a winery in the middle of the states, more or less. But there is one, and you know, I would say I wouldn't know if it's. I think it's good, but yeah.
That's a good hidden gem. As a matter of fact, I guess I'm helping them with a bit of publicity because that is what I'm currently gifting my clients as closing gifts.
Oh, nice.
I started doing closing gifts this year.
And they
get a bottle of sassafras wine.
Oh, nice.
So I bought a dozen and I'm actually heading to a closing here now and I have one in my car that I'm going to give to my client.
Okay.
And they also have a lot of very nice event venues at Sassafras. My wife's school had an event there for a Christmas formal. And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
They have great wine, great scenery. You're in the countryside, great outdoors, and the aesthetic is really Instagrammable, if you will.
100%. Yeah. Monty, did you come up with yours yet? No?
No.
Okay.
I couldn't think of anything.
You know what? She's going to say Margarita Town, the Las Compas.
Oh, the Compas. Yeah.
That's a hidden gem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they just opened.
Yeah, exactly.
Shout out to Los Compas.
Yeah.
Margaritaville. No?
Margaritaville.
Oh,
yeah.
My bad. Yes. I think it's a Margarita.
I really do feel like they have really good birria. Like,
oh, for sure. Mm.
The ramen and the quesabirrias are really good. So shout out to
birria. Good.
All right, well, guys, you know, we have one more segment, I guess you could say, is for this for our podcast. So, Enrique, I'm gonna let you do that real fast.
So, something we do on this podcast is the previous guest has left a question for you guys to answer. So, whenever you answer this question, you'll go ahead and leave one for our next guest, and that kind of just ties in all the episodes together. So the question that was left for you both to answer was, if you can change anything in NWA, what would it be? And we'll start with Francisco again.
If I could change anything.
Anything.
Wow, that's deep. It's virtually impossible, but if they could have a beach, that'd be awesome.
You know, that'd be kind of cool.
An ocean, tropical. Oh, you know what? I have it. The weather.
Oh,
the winter is not the most fun. I enjoy the snow. I enjoy a few cold days. But whenever we get into just nasty weather, what's the point?
Stuck indoors.
We're in the natural state.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just me being picky. I love Northwest Arkansas. How it is.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one. I think you're right. I think if we had maybe just a little bit less snow, or even that nasty weather when we're talking about maybe, well, and what we're referring to is maybe, and I think this is what Francisco's referring to, is like the black ice, right? You know, those days that we can't kind of move around town, the freezing rain.
Tornadoes.
The tornado. We did just get one last year, but to my knowledge, I think it'd been a long time since we had one prior to that in town, which is obviously, not a good thing, but Adi, good for you.
So I really think that the area is overall really good.
Yeah.
But I would like to see like more shopping, like,
ooh, that's,
know,
so
like
good.
More.
What
stores.
Store? What store would you like?
I can't think of one, but I mean, just more stores, more shopping, more maybe entertaining. I don't know.
I think an outlet center, like the one they have in Branson, Missouri, or in the big cities would be good.
Yeah.
I enjoy having the Pinnacle Promenade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But truthfully, I don't shop there.
Yeah.
Unless it's Lululemon. I'm a huge fan. But in general, their items are very expensive.
Right.
Outlets, you get a phenomenal deal.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we're big enough at about 600,000 people in our metro where we should probably deserve one by now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If any investors out there listening, Northwest Arkansas,
100%,
great place to make an outlet.
Yeah,
I might say, give me a Nordstrom's and a Macy's, and pretty good.
or at least getting that new Whole Foods there in the Pinnacle area.
True,
that'll
true.
Be a mixture of commercial and residential. So,
yeah,
so that'll be pretty nice. Hopefully,
I feel like eventually it'll come. I think it's just a matter of time.
I do agree with that. All right, guys. So now it is your turn to leave a question for our next guest. And this, you know, I don't know who it is. And it'll be a double question. We'll be okay with that if they
double
ask
question.
Two questions. Sure. Yeah, just because there's two. And it can be any question. It can be, something simple. What's your favorite pizza topping?
Yeah, it's something crazy.
Yeah, it can be anything.
For me, it's going to be, what is your next goal in the next 12 months?
Oh, okay.
I like it.
Golden. Mine is going to tie in back to real estate.
Okay.
And a bit more of dreaming. So what is your dream house? What is, if you had a magic wand and you could automatically live in your dream home, what is it like, and describe it for the audience?
Ooh, I like that. Very good. Yeah, that'll be a nice little visual to yeah. imagine. And then any builders listening, maybe they can make it.
Sapphire House.
Sapphire House? Oh, boy.
Cool, guys. Well, Francisco and Mari Cruz, thank you so much for joining us today. The time we had together was just phenomenal, I think. You know, for us, and for the audience, you know, we get to know more about you guys. And this was, you know, we did our best to try to do a little fun real estate episode. And, I'll give you guys just this quick second if you guys wanted to, give any social media, you know, shout outs to yourselves or anything like that. I'll give you that time.
The DS team, NWA.com. You can find us on Facebook, the DS team at Fathom Realty, Instagram, Homes NWA, or you could just look me up, Francisco Diaz.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, same. I am actually under Mari Albarran on Facebook and Instagram. And yeah, everything that Francisco said for the DS team. So
cool.
Look us up.
So yes, guys, it's going to be the DS team at Fathom Realty. Like I said, I'll put that in the... when I post this, and it'll be in the description as well. So if you guys wanted to check this out, feel free to. But again, guys, thank you for tuning in. You know, we enjoy our guests. We enjoy the time that they have with us. And we're going to catch you guys on the next episode. Take care, everyone.